Now, tonight, we want to look at chapter 5 in the book of Acts. And this chapter has some events that it's recorded there. And you think about, well, what, you know, God, there's a lot of things that happened, obviously, in the early church. And you wonder, well, why did God put such and such in there? You know, what's the reason? What's the purpose? And of course, as we read what he has put in there with purpose, we should recognize that and see the example, see what they did, and recognize that we too can walk in the power that they exhibited in that early church. So, but some events occur in here, you know, one that is just so phenomenal. It's one of the great records as far as the magnanimous work of God in operation as recorded in the Bible. And then there's something in there that's just, I almost like scratch my head and I don't get it. And I want to start with that because that starts in chapter 5. And there's an event with a couple, and Ananias and Sapphira. And many of you are familiar with this story. So let's take a look at it and see what it says here in Acts chapter 5. About this event. And it's interesting that the word, the first word here in the chapter, verse 1, is but. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it. What does that mean, privy? Secret. She knew, being, you know, it was a secret. They knew about it. They kept back some of the money and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, how did Peter know Ananias was fudging here? Revelation, God told him.
Word of knowledge.
Verse 4, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? I mean, obviously, yes. Ananias could have done whatever he wanted to do with it. If he wanted to give a small part of it, he could have. But here he's saying he's laying the whole thing down, and he's not. He's not. So why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias heard these words, fell down, and gave up the ghost. He up and died. And, you know, whoa, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Here this guy, he sells the property, he lies about it, but it's still, he gives, you know, he gives money to the work of the ministry. And he's confronted, and he dies. I mean, I don't know if that's ever happened since this time. Maybe, I don't know. But you know, what is going on in here, okay? And we're going to, I want to look at this. So let's read a little further on, and then we'll work it a little bit more here, okay? So he gave up the ghost, which means he died, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And this fear is not, you know, that they're, we're afraid. If we fudge on our giving, we're gonna give up the ghost. No, there was great reverence being exhibited here. So, you know, why is that? Why would that be the response after this guy dies? Because he lied and didn't give the whole amount as he said he would.
Well, let's read on. We can't, we'll work this a little more. Verse 6, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Yeah, she knew what they were doing, right? She was privy to the whole thing. And she obviously wasn't aware that her husband came in a few hours earlier and was confronted. He dies. And now she comes in. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Verse 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Oh my gosh. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. She died. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear, reverence came on all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Why? You know, to me, it's like, wow, these believers, they messed up, and yet it hit them so hard that they died as a result of it. And so I listened to a couple responses from some other, this one guy in Texas, I won't say his name, he says, he reads this account here and he says, you know what, folks? You just don't lie to the Holy Ghost. That's it. Don't lie. And God's not going to hurt you. And then he goes on.
That's cute.
This other guy says, well, this is a real difficult situation here. I don't think they were believers. I don't think Ananias and Sapphira were believers. I think they were Pharisees that snuck on in and were going to undermine the work of the ministry, and but God exposed them. I don't think that's it. I think to maybe help us understand what went on here, we should read in chapter 4 what happened at the latter part in chapter 4. And I think, at least for me, this has helped me maybe understand this. I'm not saying I got a lock on this, but let's look at chapter 4, verse 31. We'll jump right in there. And the believers were together. They were doing, and the verse 30 talks about they were stretched forth thine hand to heal, the signs and wonders may be done. And when they had prayed, verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, they had obviously were already filled in the sense they were born again, but this word filled is the Greek word pletho, what means flowed, filled to overflowing. They were just operating manifestations right and left. They were using the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with what?
Boldness.
With boldness. Things were happening. Things were exciting. People were getting delivered. The place was shaken when they prayed. I mean, God was alive for them. And they saw it so big and rich and so full. And the multitude, verse 32, of them that believed were of what? One heart and of one soul. This is key, I think. The people were so into this. They were so locked into being filled with Holy Spirit, seeing God work so mightily, that they were one heart and one soul. They were just locked in together as one unit. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, where can you go? Anywhere around the world where you can go to any culture, any place, and people will say,
this mansion is not mine. It belongs to my neighbors. You know, everybody's part of this, and I'll give it all away anyway. You know, no, people are not like that. They're selfish. This is mine. You know, if I get, I'll give a little bit or share some. But look at where their heart was, their attitude. They didn't, it didn't belong to them. Nothing was their own. It belonged all to the Lord. For as many as were possessors, well, let's see, did I go ahead here? I did, I'm sorry. Let me get back to verse 32, where they were with one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them of aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And if you remember on the early church, they were giving things away, right? They were sharing one with another. This pluralities, the things that were, they were just of one heart and one soul. And verse 33, and with great power, and God uses the word great here, and it must have been great, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Man, they recognized God's grace, and it was great. I mean, the power of God was great. It was huge. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses, these are plurals, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Now, it's interesting, the lands and houses, these were pluralities. So it's not like they had a house and they sold it and now they have to live on the street. No. If they had extra, they gladly sold it. They didn't need extra stuff. And this is being repeated here in this atmosphere of oneness, of sharing, of not, this is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. We're moving the word. And so they brought the prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them, verse 35, down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. They just helped each other, and this was just so embedded in their minds. This was the life that now they were living with the power of God, people getting healed, buildings shaking when they were praying. Just amazing that they would get of a mind and heart, it's not mine, it's all the Lord's. Do you see this building, this kind of attitude, this thinking? And Joseph's, and here God puts an example of this guy. I don't know who Joseph is, but he made it in the book of Acts here, verse 36. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. All right, so this chapter closes with this guy, and what he's a Levite. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Levites were not supposed to be owners of land.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's what, yeah, I've been taught.
That's what I've been taught. And so for some reason he had this property and he gladly sold it and he laid the money at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, now that goes into the story that we have read about Ananias and Sapphira, having sold their possessions, but holding back and not being honest. And they laid it, what they thought, you know, they laid some of it, saying it was all of it at the feet of the apostles. And Peter caught them. You know, God gave him revelation. Why did Satan fill thy heart, verse 3 says? The lie of the Holy Ghost. Why did you keep back part of the price of the land? You know, this, I think here, this event occurs as an example of how tight the believers were, of one heart and one soul, that for one, you know, the persons, these, this couple to screw up, it was so dramatic, so huge, that they died. They just, it was too much. It was too much. Now, if this event happened in our times now, who cares? Nobody. Go get out of here, you know. If they sold the property and didn't give the money that they promised they'd get, oh yeah, I'm sorry. But these people were so tight. They're one heart, one soul. They were really into it together. And I tell you, that's a great example why they saw great power in their lives, because they were so together. And this event occurs, and the response was, wow, look at this. The believers, I'm sure that it was unfortunate for these people to die, but it was such a huge thing that they would screw up. And they would give up the ghost. They would die. And the people's, my golly, look at this. This is just too much, too big. And great, verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs, verse 12 here, and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. This one accord really is the word that means of one mind. They are of one mind. And again, the believers in this early church really tied it in together. It wasn't like they were just, everybody had their own thing, and then they would get together once a week for an hour and have nice, sweet fellowship. Then go do their natural mind things, and then come together in 7 days and have an hour of fellowship. No, this was 7 days a week, 24/7. I mean, it was fellowship. It was tight. It was the power of God living in them. And everybody had their needs met. And by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. Man, oh man. Because they were with one accord. And verse 13, and the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Man, they had outreach. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Wow, just this, the shadow of Peter would get the job done, would heal them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, how many?
Everyone,
no exception. That blows my mind. I mean, today people have situations going, we pray, and we don't see the results all the time, do we? We don't see this kind of everyone is healed. What's it going to take to do that? Or what was it, what attitude of mind did they have in the early church? Well, they were one heart and one soul. They were into it. They didn't know anything else. They gave up everything they had so that everybody's need could be met. And great signs and wonders were done. And they put the sick in the street. Can you imagine you being sick? And, oh, man, I'm sick. And the other believer, come on, Peter's going to be coming down here any moment now. Let's put you out in the street. What? Are you going to put me out in the middle of the road? Here, I'm sick. Well, get on out there. And what happened? Everyone got healed. That's what blows my mind. You know, we talk about, you know, living the book of Acts. You know, that we're Acts Now Fellowship, living the book of Acts today. Wouldn't you like to see that today? Yeah, you get sick, we put you out in the street, you get healed. Well, yeah. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They were all upset. Oh, my gosh, he can't be doing all this stuff. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Wow. Can you imagine being put in jail for witnessing, and then this angel comes and opens the door and says, go do what got you in jail the first place. Go stand and speak in the temple. This is where all the people would go to hang out. All the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered where? Into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Mm-hmm. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we opened them, nobody was there. We found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them wherewith this would grow. Then came one and told them. This guy comes running in, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison, they're standing in the temple and teaching the people. That must have blew their minds. Mm-hmm. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Isn't that neat? That's what we want to do. We want to obey God rather than men. The God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. We got to kill these guys. We're going to just murder them. We're just going to kill them. We're going to shoot them down right now. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, having reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space.
He said, hey, wait a minute, guys, slow down. You know, you guys move over here. We're going to talk about this. And he said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. What you intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all that as many who has obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. Well, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and what? Beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, all upset, down and out, feeling bad. No, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Verse 42, what a close here. And daily, how often?
Daily
in the temple and in every house. Not only in the temple where the people would go hang out, but in every house they ceased not to teach and preach who?
Jesus Christ.
Wow. I mean, what a record, huh? What a chapter. What a section that God put in his word about the early church for us to learn, to see, to have as an example, and to realize that if they could do it, we can do it too. We can do it too. We can have great expectations. God encourages us. He certainly did tonight in the manifestations. So, and that deal with Ananias and Sapphira, yeah, I don't know the depth of that, other than to me, the people were so close, so tight, that for someone to screw up, it was so obvious that they just gave up the ghost. They knew it, and they just couldn't go any farther.
I've seen different things about that, too.
Yeah, so, but man, to see these guys just go forth, go thrown in jail, have an angel come, go stand and speak in the temple all the words of his life. Oh, my God. And to heal everyone. So that's available. We got some high expectations that we can shoot for, huh? Yeah, amen. Well, Father, thank you that you have a wonderful message here in your word about the early church, and what an exciting time that must have been for them to experience these different events. And I pray, Father, that we can experience wonderful events as we believe you and walk out literally on your word, that we take you at your word. It's the same word today as it was back then, and you're the same God. And you can do the same things. So I'm excited about the days ahead that we can have great expectations as we minister, as we serve, as we hold forth the words of life. Thank you, Father, for the privilege. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay.